We want to look at John chapter 18 this morning. John chapter 18, 19 and 20, three chapters. And the advantage of the notes, we highlighted some things on the notes that we passed out, and we have a few thoughts on the back page. So before we begin, let's bow in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we praise and thank you for the blessed Sunday morning that you've given us. And as the choir just finished singing, he is alive. And we are the most blessed people on planet Earth if we know Christ as our Lord and Savior, and that he is alive. He lives in the heart and life of every person who's truly born again. We thank you, Father, for the riches of your love, grace, and mercy that you've given to us. And Father, we thank you in a special way that God so loved the world, he gave. The Father so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Father, we thank you for that Son given, that life given, that we might have life, and that we today, as Bible-believing Christians, we serve a risen Savior. Father, thank you for the riches that we have in Christ. Thank you for the message of Easter that you've given us to preach, and that we will read this morning from John chapter 18. And Father, speak to our hearts, we pray, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As you can hear, I may have a little bit of problem with my voice this morning. I trust God be gracious and help us to be able to get through the message. So we'll begin by reading in John chapter 18 with verse 1. And as we read, pray that the Spirit of God will speak to your heart. Now, the message is not difficult. In the four Gospels, John chapter, the Gospel, the resurrection story in John chapter 18, I think is the, how do I want to say this properly? Not the easiest. Can't say the best because it's all good, right? But it's most concise. I guess that's the best way to say it. And so let's begin reading. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden, into which he entered with his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, cometh thither with lamps and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? Now we want to comment on verse number 4. At this point in Jesus' life, he obviously knew everything that would come to him. Remember that Jesus was not only a man, he was also God. And we could say he's the God-man, which is a common expression. And being that, and knowing that, he was the Lamb of God that the Father had sent. Now listen, God sent Jesus, his beloved Son, into this world to take a body of flesh, to be given as a sacrifice, as a blood sacrifice, to atone for the sin of man. Jesus knew that when he came. And so when it says here in John 18:4, he knowing what would happen, he knew every detail. He knew. Let's read on. They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And now remember, Judas was one of the 12. And notice where Judas is standing. Judas stood with the enemies of Christ. Verse 6. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, whom seek ye? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which was spoken of them, which thou gavest me, I have lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. And the servant's name was Malchus. Found it interesting that Peter carried a sword. And Peter was ready to use that sword. And Peter was ready to physically fight and defend Jesus. But that's not why Jesus came, was it? Not to be defended by Mr. Peter. But Jesus came, as we've already said, to be the Lamb of God, which would lay down his life for the sin of the world. Verse 11, then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into his sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? The cup. I want you to think about that for just a minute. And in one of the other Gospels, when Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane prior to this incident that we're reading about in the Gospel of John, in that other Gospel it says, Jesus wept and prayed and sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, because he knew the cup that his Father had given him to drink was going to be a bitter cup. And he knew he had to drink it. And so he makes the statement here. The cup, notice the words, please, which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? The cup of the wrath of God poured out on the Lamb of God, who would be the sin bearer. Jesus said, shall I not drink that cup? Is that not why I came? Yes, that's why he came. Let's read on. Verse 12. Then the band and the captain and the officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him. Who's binding who here? What a mockery that wicked, sinful men thought that they could take the Christ, the Lamb of God, this one who was God in a body of flesh. They would take him and bind him, and they would lead him away. What mockery. What love and submission on the part of our Lord and Savior. And they led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which is a high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, so did another disciple. That disciple was known also, known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus unto the place of the high priest, unto the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without, please note. Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art not thou also one of this man's disciples? And he said, that is, Peter said, no, I'm not. In other words, no, I'm not one of his disciples. Verse 18, and the servant of the officer stood there, who had made the fire of coals, for it was cold, And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Now, we highlighted in the notes, Peter stood with them. Do you see a danger here? You see a problem here? Does anybody remember Psalm 1, verse 1? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But where does Peter find himself here? And Peter stood with them. You remember just a few minutes ago, we mentioned that Judas stood with them? Let's read on. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine, and Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. They asked, and why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me, what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas, the high priest. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. And Simon Peter did what? Stood and warmed himself. Where? They said, therefore, unto him, Art not thou one of his disciples? He denied and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter had cut off, said, Did not I see thee in the garden with him a few minutes ago? And I added that. Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. And he had denied his Lord three times, as Jesus had predicted that he would. Notice that Peter had what? Peter had a lot of self-confidence before this whole thing started, did he not? He said, Lord, if everybody denies you, I won't. And in one of the other Gospels, it says the very same thing. The other 10 also said the same thing Peter said. Lord, we'll not deny you and we'll not forsake you. They all had a whole lot of self-confidence. But guess what? How far self-confidence takes you. Self-confidence might work pretty good for you when the sun is shining. But self-confidence doesn't stand up very well when persecution comes. We find in Matthew chapter 26, verse 75, and right after this, Peter went out and wept bitterly after he had denied his Lord. He repented. Oh, how beautiful the picture. Peter sinned unbelievably. How terrible Peter's sin. But he repented. Let's read on verse 28. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Bunch of hypocrites. Verse 29. Pilate, when he went out unto them, and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto them, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have brought him unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, that he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me, and what hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. And everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." What a statement. For this cause came I into the world. What cause, Jesus? What was the cause? Many causes, of course, but this one just now, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Verse 38, Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, "I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews?" Then cried they all, saying, "Not this man," that is, not Jesus. "We don't want you to deliver to us Jesus, not him, but Barabbas." Now, Barabbas was a robber. What a choice! What a choice! The Jews on that day had to make a choice. And who did they choose? What a choice! Release Barabbas, a criminal, a man that was deserving to die, release him and crucify this perfect, spotless Lamb of God that came from heaven. Nail him to the cross. Kill him. What a choice they made that day. Chapter 19, verse 1. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. That is, a scourging then was a man's back was bared, tied to a post, and then whipped until he was practically unconscious, whipped bloody. I ask you, would you think about that for just a moment? Who is that man that Roman soldiers are whipping until he's practically unconscious? Who is that man? That man is God in a body of flesh. Man is showing his utter hatred for God. Let's read on, verse 2. Then the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him with their hands. What's going on? What's going on? It's hard to say, isn't it? It's hard to watch, isn't it? This perfect man, the only perfect man who has ever walked on planet Earth, this man who loved people more than any people will ever be able to comprehend, this man, wicked soldiers, put a crown on his head. "You're a king. Here's a crown of thorns." They mock Christ the King. They put a purple robe on him. A king ought to have a purple robe, right? And on his bloody back, they placed this purple robe, this crown of thorns. And then they say, "Hail, King of the Jews," mocking and mocking and mocking the Christ. Are you getting a picture of what this world then thought about Christ? And this world today has the very same view of Christ as they had then. They have no time and no place for the Christ. no time and no place for God. Verse 4. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring forth to you that ye might know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. Behold the man. Jesus, what did he look like? A man. Verse 6. Then the chief priests therefore and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! In other words, kill him! Kill that man! Question, who is saying this? Who's behind this? The chief priests, the religious leaders of the day. Kill that man, Jesus. Get rid of that man, Jesus. Pilate saith unto him, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. Was that not true? Absolutely true. Of course, he was the Son of God. Verse 8, Then Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then said Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Look at the pride and the arrogance and the self-confidence of this man, Pilate. What a wicked puppet. Verse 11. Jesus answered, Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath a greater sin. I want you to note what Jesus said. Mr. Pilate, you could not do one thing to me physically unless my heavenly Father allowed it. And might I add to that today to you and me? The devil and the powers of darkness, the demons of hell, can do absolutely nothing to you. They can't touch you unless God allows them to. Example, Job chapter 1 and 2. And many other places. Let's read on verse 12. And from henceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. Then Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place what is called the pavement, and in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover and about the sixth hour. And he saith to the Jews, Behold your king. Behold your king. But they cried out, Away with him. Away with him. Crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. Wow. Note again, they took Jesus and they led him away. Verse 17. Another incredibly sad statement made. And he, bearing his cross. So Jesus, the condemned Savior of the world, bearing his cross, that is, carrying his cross to the place of crucifixion, went forth unto a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. And they crucified him. And they, notice the references, the they here, they, the Roman soldiers, crucified him. But here's the question. Who was it that demanded he be crucified? The religious Jews. They crucified him. And then let's read on, and two other with him, on either side, one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city. And it was written in Hebrew and Greek and in Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews unto Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. And Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garment and made four parts, and every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top to throughout. And they therefore among themselves, let us not rend it. In other words, let's not tear it in pieces now, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my garment among them, and my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother. Interesting. There stood by the cross of Jesus his mother. She went to watch her son die. And his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith to his mother, woman, behold thy son. And he saith to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her into his home. That disciple, of course, was John. We'll notice that disciple is mentioned three times in that verse. He's mentioned four more times in the passages we'll see. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. I want to stop here for a minute, and I want to look at that statement, it is finished. And we might ask the question, what is finished? What did Jesus finish? Oh, that the religions of this world would turn to the scriptures and read these words of Jesus from the Gospel of John, where Jesus said, it is finished. All of the religions of this world, with the exception of the Bible-believing Christian faith, all of them are still busy. Busy with their good works in an attempt to find acceptance and recognition with God. How foolish, how wicked, how devilish even. When Jesus said, it is finished, exactly what was finished? I would like you to go back in your thinking to Genesis chapter 3. When Adam and Eve had sinned in the garden, what did God do in order to make an atonement or a payment for their sin so that they could find forgiveness? God in Genesis chapter 3 established for once and for all and forever the only way for a sinful, fallen humanity to ever find forgiveness from a holy God is through a blood sacrifice. That was established way back in the beginning. And if you read the Old Testament for 4,000 years of Old Testament history, animals were sacrificed, blood was shed for 4,000 years as men were instructed by God by a blood sacrifice to make an atonement for their sin. That's how it was. That was the only way for man to find acceptance with God, is through a blood sacrifice. So 2,000 years ago, when Jesus came and died on a cross and was nailed to that cross, and his body bled as he hung on that cross, that blood of Jesus that was shed that day on Calvary was the blood that made a permanent payment, a permanent atonement for all of the sin of all of mankind for all time. That was it. And when Jesus on the cross that day shed that blood and died and said, "It is finished," that means there will need to be no more sacrificing for sin ever. It's been done. It is finished. So what do we have going on today? Churches will tell you, well, you have to get baptized to be saved. Afraid not. You have to observe the Lord's Supper to be saved, and call it whatever you will in whatever church. Afraid not. You've got to do some good works to be saved and earn heaven. Afraid not. You've got to give some money. Afraid not. You've got to do whatever. Afraid not. When Jesus died on the cross, he said, "It's finished." And now the only thing you can do to be saved and find acceptance by God is accept what Jesus Christ has done for you. End of story. That's all you can do. Let's read verse 30 again. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. That means he surrendered his life. He laid down his life and he died. Verse 31. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. Interesting. They didn't have any problem killing a man, an innocent man, but they had their religion. Verse 32. Then came the soldiers and broke the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with him. And when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was dead already. They broke not his legs. And one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came out blood and water. Was Jesus dead? He was dead. He had died. They pierced his hands with nails and his feet. They pierced his side with a spear. Picture it this way. A spear, they ran it up under his rib cage into his heart. He's dead. He's dead. Verse 35. And he that saw it bear record, that's John, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith, what he saith is true. that he might believe. And these things were done that the scriptures should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture which saith, they shall look on him whom they have pierced. Taken Zechariah chapter 12. Let's move on. Verse 38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave, or gave him permission. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. Notice, they're using the word body, implying that he's dead. Verse 39. And there came also Nicodemus, which at first came to Jesus by night, John chapter 3, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, 100-pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen cloths with spices, as the manner of the Jews was to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre wherein never a man was yet laid. There they laid Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. John chapter 20, verse 1. The first day of the week came Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Now let me stop and comment. According to the scripture, let me better say it this way. Not that it's better, but say it another way. Jesus said he would be 3 days and 3 nights in the earth. Right? Did he say that? Yeah, he did. Jesus said, as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale or fish or whatever you want to call it, so the Son of Man would be 3 days and 3 nights in the earth. Jesus, on several occasions, told his disciples that he would die, that he would be buried, that he would be 3 days and 3 nights in the tomb, and then that he would be resurrected. He told his disciples that on 5 or 6 occasions at least prior to any of the events of the crucifixion. So they knew. So here comes Mary Magdalene early in the morning after the 3 days and nights to the sepulchre. And she finds the stone rolled away from the entrance of the tomb where Jesus was buried. And she finds the tomb empty. And she runs and comes to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, verse 2, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they've laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple, which was John, did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down, looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not laying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciple, who was John, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. And as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. What a picture. Tomb is empty. Jesus is gone. We don't know where he is. What do we do? They didn't know what to do. So they went home. Verse 11. Picture this lady, but Mary, praise the Lord, but Mary, stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and seeth two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they've laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Verse 15. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him, or if you've taken him anywhere, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Now, when Jesus called her by name, she recognized it was Jesus. Verse 17. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, that is the 11 disciples who were left. Remember, Judas is gone. Go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. I want you to stop and think about that verse for just a moment. I want you to go to my brethren. Notice Jesus calls these disciples his brethren. They all forsook him, right? But Jesus, in love and grace, calls them, Go to my brethren. What a gracious Lord we have. And say to them, I ascend to my Father. Notice the next statement, Your Father. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. These disciples, though they were weak in faith, they had a heavenly Father. And then Jesus went on to say, I'm going to my God and your God. Verse 18, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Now, we know from the other gospel accounts they didn't believe her. Verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. Now, what's the significance of the statements made in this verse? The disciples were afraid. They had gathered at a place. The door was locked. And suddenly Jesus appears in the room. And he doesn't come in by the door. He just appears. A picture of the power of the resurrected Christ. And the Bible just told us that he stood in the midst of them and he said unto them, Peace be unto you. Now he's going to make that statement to them three times. Peace be unto you. That's obviously what they needed. That's what he had to give. Verse 20. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Now, what was Jesus doing? He was proving to them, I am the man that was on the cross. I am the man that they drove nails through hands and feet. I am the man that they pierced my side. I am the man that was buried and in the tomb for 3 days and three nights. I'm the man. But I'm a resurrected man. The power of Almighty God came into Christ and gave him resurrection life. Remember what Jesus said prior to his crucifixion. I have power to lay down my life, and I have power to take it again. Man, so much could be said. Let's hurry on. Verse 21. Then said Jesus unto them again, Peace be unto you. Second time now. Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. What do we have here in verse 21? we have the Great Commission given. The message of the resurrected Christ is to be taken to the world. The message of the gospel, which includes the resurrection of Christ, is to be taken to the world. And just like Jesus sent those disciples on that night, he's sending you. He's sending me to take the gospel of the resurrected Christ to the people of this world. Verse 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Need a quick comment on that verse. Does man have the power to forgive another man's sin? If you know anything about the Bible, you know absolutely man does not. But sin could be forgiven through the gospel. When the gospel is preached, you carry a message of the love and the grace and the mercy of God, a message where a sinner can find the answer to his lost, hell-bound soul and can find hope in Christ and can find sins forgiven in the crucified, resurrected Christ. Let's read on, verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So Jesus had appeared now to the 10. The other disciples therefore said unto him, that's to Thomas, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see his hands and the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I'll not believe. Huh. Have you heard the expression, doubting Thomas? Well, this is doubting Thomas. Kind of interesting. 10 men could stand up to Mr. Thomas and say, Thomas, wake up. We saw him. We saw the hands. We saw the feet. We saw the nail-pierced side. He's alive. Thomas said, get out of here. Get out of here. I don't believe a word of it. If I don't see it myself, I won't believe you guys. Let's read on. Verse 26, after 8 days again, the disciples were within and Thomas with them. Mr. Thomas is going to get an eye-opening now. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Third time he's made that statement. Then saith he to Thomas. Now notice, Jesus didn't throw Mr. Thomas under the bus because he didn't believe, right? Oh, the love and the grace and the mercy of our Lord and Savior. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. I have a question for you. Are you among that group that's addressed here of the blessed who have not seen and yet believed? If so, say amen. You've not seen. You haven't put your fingers into those nail-pierced hands and your hand into that nail-pierced side, and yet you believe. I believe. We believe. By faith, we believe. It's absolutely true. Absolutely. We don't have time this morning, but if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you'll find there of the hundreds of people mentioned, hundreds, that for 40 days after Jesus' resurrection, they saw him, they ate with him, they talked with him, and they saw him ascend back to the Father after 40 days after his resurrection. Let's read our last two verses. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Hallelujah. Praise God. I hope and pray you're here this morning and you believed that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, and he died on a cross for you, and he was resurrected for you, and he lives for you. And you can have the awesome privilege of knowing him living in your heart and in your life. If you've never come to Christ and received him as your Lord and Savior, if you've never received salvation as a gift from God, I hope and pray today the Spirit of God will touch your heart and you will come to Christ today. Repent of your sin, that's turn from your sin, turn to the Savior, and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior.